Well, I know that we're rejoicing because of our young brother Wes. The scripture is clear. There will be more rejoicing in heaven for one sinner that repents than for 99 righteous ones. So we rejoice with him, and heaven rejoices. Let me begin this morning with a confession. I started out this week with the conviction that today would be Mother's Day. Don't ask me how I did that. I was a little taken aback when I told Mark what my subject would be. And he didn't bat an eye. Mary, Model of Motherhood. That is the title of a book written by my friend and cohort in the gospel, Sewell Hall. It is an excellent book. And Bethany Hubert is the one who framed the picture on the front of the book. My wife said to me, "I think this is not Mother's Day on Sunday." "Oh, no," I said, "I'm certain that it is, and I'm making my plans accordingly." There's a lesson to be learned from all that. Listen to your wife. And to all godly women. So I'll shift gears just a bit this morning and think with you about Mary, the model of womanhood. Women are so critical and important in the kingdom. I have been blessed richly many times by a godly woman. Even before I married, that was true. I was driving out from Abilene, Texas, about 100 miles to a little town, just a village called Duffo, which was near a big town of Hyco. And it was a challenge sometimes because there was a brother Gieske in that church who, as soon as you began to preach, he closed his eyes. And he was the song leader and would be the one to lead the invitation hymn. I preached. His eyes stayed closed. I often felt that I was going to have to move into the aisle and nudge him in order that the invitation could be sung. But he was incredible. Instantaneously, when I offered the invitation, he came alive, and there Brother Gieske was leading the song. In that little church was an elderly widow who invariably, as I stayed with her son-in-law and daughter in the afternoon waiting for the evening service, she lived in a house in the back and came to the services always walking on crutches. There was always written above the chalkboard in the building, "Visitors, welcome." And I learned that the chalkboard had been contributed by this widow, and she had demanded that the visitors be welcomed on that board every time. Well, the evening would come, and I would preach. She would always have a chicken sandwich to send me home with. She was the woman who would be the grandmother of my wife, whom I had never even seen at that time. Later on, after I married and when we were preaching in Zion, Illinois, there was an elderly widow there who had us frequently into her home for a meal. She had married a man who was not a Christian. He had passed away. But throughout all, she had been faithful to serve God according to His will. She had a garden in the backyard from which she took those excellent dishes to feed us with. On one occasion, when we were there eating with Sister Pearl, I opened the biscuit and there was a spider in the center of it. She was not seeing too well at this time. But I will tell you this. I would have swallowed it whole rather than let her know that was the case. She was a source of comfort and encouragement to a young preacher. Women have always been nurturers. And when Christ has influence on them, it's almost inevitable that they'll begin to nurture others. Mary was a nurturer. The name Mary still has modern usage. There are Marys in this audience. She was a remarkable person. Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 49. Luke chapter 1, 46 to 49. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly estate of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things to me." Why would such an ordinary individual receive such attention? There are qualities in her that should be imitated. Certainly the fact that she gave birth as a virgin is not one of them. Nor that an angel visited her to tell her that she was going to give birth to one who would be called the Son of God. Those are not things that can be replicated. But her example can be. What do you think she thought when an angel said to her, "You're going to give birth to a son," and she had never even had any contact with a man? She said, "I have never been with a man." The angel persisted. And finally she said, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, let it be to me as you have said." We would do well to imitate her humility. She did not say when the angel announced that she would be with child, by the Holy Spirit. She did not say, but what are the neighbors going to say? What about the scandal that's going to jump onto my head as a result of all that? Didn't ask the question. But presumed that God would take care of that too. Humility. I guarantee you that James and John and the early apostles of Christ would never have chosen her to clothe with flesh the Son of God. We know how much they preferred excellence and how much they preferred acknowledgement of their importance. They wanted to be on the right and the left hand of Jesus in his kingdom. And the other disciples, when they saw what James and John were trying to do, were angry. Not at their presumption, but they were getting ahead of the others. Can you imagine that they would have thought Mary was a fit subject to incarnate the Son of the Living God? And that continued to be much their disposition until finally Jesus died and was raised again. It's unfortunate that Mary has been celebrated for the most unbiblical reasons. Perpetual virginity. Never did have any contact with a man. That is not true. Mark, the 6th chapter, speaks about his brothers and sisters that were known by the villagers there. It's as if the contact of a man and woman physically in marriage is somehow low case, as somehow not to be elevated, but to be subjugated. That is not true and is not according to the teaching of Scripture. Then there's the idea that she was translated bodily into heaven, like Elijah. There's not one bit of evidence in Scripture that that is true. But the most unfortunate thing that has been said about Mary is that she is the intercessor between the church and Christ. You speak to Mary. You pray to Mary, who will speak to the Son, who will speak to the Father. The Scripture says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And in Romans 8 and verse 34, it is Christ, and furthermore, who died and is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Those things are human traditions intended to elevate Mary almost to deity. You pray to her. She will respond. Prayers are offered in churches all over this country to Mary regularly. But it is also said about her in the text that I read from Luke. Henceforth all generations, Mary said, will call me blessed. So it is right that we honor her for the right reasons. A simple Jewish peasant girl, poor and from a tiny Galilean village is chosen by God to be the means of the incarnation. It's interesting to note that Jesus is the only person who ever had the power to choose his own parents. We don't do that. She was chosen by God. We need to take note of her spirit and attitude of humility if we're going to be chosen by God in the great redemptive process of which we're a part. Luke 1, verse 30, the angel to Mary, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." And so are all women who bear this humble spirit of servanthood to be honored and appreciated and blessed, as Mary said. But secondly, as already anticipated, there is her trust in God. As I noted, she didn't ask what was going to be done to take care of the scandal that this was going to produce. When the shape of her body began to change, she was a woman who was chosen by a husband, which was the same as marriage, and it would have created a scandal of an enormous sort. But she just simply says, "You do what you say. Behold the handmaid of the Lord." We all, indeed, men and women, need to have that spirit when we come to Christ. Behold the servant of God. You do what you want to do. We will trust you to do what is right for us. Another thing that was characteristic of Mary was her chosen husband. He was a common carpenter. When I get hold of a piece of wood, I wonder that any carpenter can be called common. You have to know all about the wood. You need to know the special qualities of it. You need to know the difference of the woods from different purposes. And all that was there. But that is not the highest rung on the social ladder. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25 is a passage that speaks about Joseph. And we'll just take the time to read it. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, a righteous man, and not wanting to make her a public example, not only was he just, but he was merciful. Not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall conceive. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, translated, God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife. Didn't ask any questions. As a matter of fact, the language of Micah chapter 6 is evident here. What does the Lord your God require of you? The prophet asked. To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. It was from such people that God himself chose to bring about the incarnation of his Son. They did not aspire to some kind of human greatness. It was obviously the passion of both of them to do what pleased God, whatever the consequences might be. And I'm not going to go into that this morning. We should remember Mary, young, poor, betrothed to a godly man. For such as she was is what God would choose for his purpose. And if we are to be chosen ourselves for the purposes God has that are tremendous, we must calculate becoming the kind of people that they were. Once when I was a bit older, I had been preaching for some time, I took a trip back to Texas to a little town called Desdemona. That's a name right out of Shakespeare. But it was more commonly called Hogtown, where I would travel when I was a grad student for about 70 miles every Sunday to preach. And there was an elder there named Adams, who took as his personal task to keep young preachers humble. And he did a pretty good job of it. And I was young and thinking, I can really make a difference in this church here in Hogtown, Texas. For one thing, you could look at the sky through the ceiling. And at night you could see the stars. And you could see the chickens scratching through the floor. And I thought, this needs to change. We need to get a new building here. Can you imagine such amazing heedlessness that a young preacher coming for some limited period of time and that every Sunday is a test? I'm going to get these brethren to build a new building. They told me we had a tornado here not too long ago. And if we build a new building, it'll just be a loss totally. when the next tornado comes. I thought that was a good argument for getting a better building. But for them, it meant we're not going to waste our money on that. Anyway, I made a trip back there later. We were going to see some of Wilma's people, and then I had a meeting in Lubbock, Texas, where Dee Bowman's brother was an elder. And we went by Desdemona. They had a new brick building meeting place. But out back, situated on poles, was the old shingle roof from the old building, which they had saved to be an outdoor fellowship hall. I was glad that somebody finally influenced them. But women, godly women, have been a part of my life of preaching from its beginning. And that's still true. I'm saying to you, you are important in a transcendent way. There are things that you are not to do in the kingdom. But let me tell you, there are things that men cannot do in the kingdom. I've shifted gears this morning. And we've had a blessed interruption. So what I wanted to say was this. Imitate Mary in those qualities which caused her to be chosen by God. And as she said of herself, to be blessed for all generations. So we rejoice in all our sisters. Rejoice in what you have done in the early nurture of children and what you have done even when you did not marry, like Mary and Martha, or Mary Magdalene, who performed such great service in the kingdom, but they were never married. And there are others who have married but never had children, not because they have chosen to be so. Anyway, we are glad and greatly rejoice in our sisters in Christ. You are a blessing, and you will continue to be because you are like Mary. The gospel has touched one soul today, probably more. We're going to sing another invitation hymn. Ask yourself what your relationship to God is now, and know what it can be. That has been expressed in clear terms already here. How God loves us. It is incredible what He has done to save us from ourselves. And the invitation is still a living thing. And we're going to express it in this song as we sing together.